come to this happy place, welcome.
Hi, and welcome to episode 37 of Mouse Manners and More Podcast, your most serious and up-to-date podcast that you can find out there about Walt Disney World in the state of Kentucky, in the center of Kentucky, and actually at our house.
We're number one, right?
We're number one. Number one at our house and podcast.
One of one.
Yeah, we get all the votes here. Yeah. And we're serious. And if you stuck with us, we thank you. We're going to try to make this the best episode we have ever had.
Today.
That's
in this house.
No pressure.
When we're recording it. All right. So we're going to continue our trip report from May and June of this year. We're going to take it as going at the new rides, new fast passes, new areas and constructions that we saw when we were down there. The last episode that we did resorts and restaurants, so if you want to go back there and listen to that, if you're not sick after listening to this episode, you're more than welcome to go do it. So let's go and let's do the number one thing that we were really, really wanting to see, which was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train Ride.
Yes, open May 28th officially at the Walt Disney World Resort Magic Kingdom. The highlight attraction, and I'm sure we'll have long lines for a long time. For
many years to come.
Yes. Yep. Let's talk about the ride. It's okay. The new family coaster in the Magic Kingdom. Kind of a bridge between Goofy's, or Magic Goofini, or whatever his name is now, and the
Big Thunder
Mountain, yes. Sorry. Kind of a transition. So it's a family coaster.
And it's for ages probably 4 or 5 up to 100, and sizes 2 and under.
Yes. Yes. The seats are not made for an adult, an average size adult, let alone us with a little extra baggage in the front.
Or me, abnormally.
They curve. The seats curve up.
So it's like a fitted seat.
Kind it's of. Like, well, I mean, I don't know who it fits, but it sure don't fit us.
It's not a straight bench across like you would find.
No, and it's very
like
uncomfortable.
Big Thunder.
Like Big Thunder, yes.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I had one cheek and one leg stuck in that thing, and everything else was hanging out. So
it's very uncomfortable.
They put that little bar down on my legs, and I swear I felt like a bratwurst.
It was kind of tight.
It was.
It's tight.
I mean, if you had to use the bathroom, you wouldn't after that because you're holding it really good.
I mean, they're made for little skinny six-year-olds.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Even a child who is, I mean, I'm not saying an overweight child, but even a child who is bigger than a skinny little six-year-old, and I mean, when I say skinny, I mean pencil thin, is not going to fit well in that seat. It's not going to be comfortable.
Mm-mm.
Luckily, the ride's only 2 minutes long.
Okay.
I like the way that the bar came down, and I liked how it had the strap, and it had, like, the holding on thingy.
The holding on thingy was nice.
Yeah, so you got the lap bar comes down, and it's padded on the seat base in front of you that you can hang on and hold your hands up.
Mm-hmm. Like a small kid would like to maybe hold on that, but, like, it's its first coaster, something like that. But there were body parts of myself that went numb. When that thing came down on me, they shouldn't have gotten up.
I think that, like, that kind of design should be on Everest. I think that would be nice. Like, how the lap bar came down and how, like, the holding on thingy.
Still with the flat seat, right?
Yeah.
Someone needs to get
That's what gets me into Everest, too. I want something else to hang on to.
Yeah, it's just like you're holding on.
I always put my hand behind the headrest and hang on to, especially going up the backwards part. So you'll always see me reach behind and grab my headrest. And that's just the way I...
So that's the bad part of the ride. But the good part of the ride is the outside of it. It's beautiful.
It's cute. I mean, it's cute.
It's very smooth.
It is very smooth.
Yeah. And quiet. Yeah. You know, it's going, you'll never hear it until you see it or hear people screaming.
Mm-hmm.
So...
That's really cool.
Yeah. It is a really smooth ride. I rode it after I injured myself and I was okay.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. I mean, it's a train ride. There's, four seats per train, per log, yeah. And then there's five of those, so one train will hold 20 people. and come in. They loaded very fast. I don't see any. We rode it 4 or 5 times and didn't see any problems loading. Very efficient. And you go out. So it's a kind of a three-stage ride, if you will. So it kicks you outside. And there's one little section. You go up the first lift.
Take your sunglasses and hats off, however. I mean, it's not extremely fast, but you will lose them.
No, I mean, yeah, there's some
I mean,
curves.
If you have your sunglasses on your head, they're not on your face.
If you just have them loose on top of your head, you couldn't. Because, I mean, the curves are, kind of, some of them are a little steep. And like I said, the buckets will swing.
Especially when you have two grown men behind you swinging the bucket.
So, I mean, first couple times we just rolled, we just kind of held on, I think. The last few times we rolled it, we were, oh, these things swing. So we were purposely trying to, for an added thrill, if you're an adult especially, try to get the train swinging back and forth. That just enhances the ride experience.
It'll go out pretty far, too, swing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they'll swing right up until you go into the unloading station. Well, even in front of the house at the end, you can sit there and swing if you're waiting to be pulled in to get out.
You can swing your honey and rock her like a baby back and forth.
Yeah, that's what they were doing, Becky. They were rocking us.
Oh, okay.
To sleep, so you wouldn't complain.
Me and Hannah were on the other train, so we didn't have any problems.
So, like I said, go out of the load section, kicks you out, you go around a couple curves, go up the first hill, and it has the same mechanism that Everest does. It just clicks one time. It's smooth up going to the lift. You go down the first drop around a few curves. Then you go into the dark portion of the ride. It's like a normal Disney dark ride, like you would go into Little Mermaid or rides like that.
But there wasn't. To me, it didn't seem like when you're going around outside. Okay. So. It doesn't seem like there's as many details as you're going around outside until you get to the house. To me, it didn't. There's one part where it looks like another train that you're in up high, but that's about it. That's what all I saw, though.
I thought the inside was shorter. Well, it was shorter than I thought it was going
to
be.
For as long as it took to build it?
Yeah. It was a lot shorter than I thought. It was like you go in, you go around, and you go up the hill, and you're out.
Mm-hmm. It's cute, but...
It is cute.
Bright and colorful.
But not as many details as other rides have.
Right.
Because, Big Thunder Mountain, it has lots of details anywhere you go. You don't see half of them because you're going really fast, but there's still lots of details.
Well, I wonder. I mean, Todd said it's a mix between Goofini and Big Thunder. So you want the little kids to get on there and not be scared out of their brains.
Right.
So the Goofini is really short.
Five
30
seconds.
Something like that.
And
Big Thunder is really
details.
Long. So this is kind of a... Maybe that's why they do it. Maybe that's why it's so short. Because if you got a kid on there screaming its head off, at least it'll only be for 2 minutes. Instead of Big Thunder, right?
That's true.
But instead of all the outside parts, just add more of the actual theme instead of the outside going really fast.
So you're thinking you see maybe more dwarfs on the outside?
Yeah.
But they're inside. I guess the theme is they're inside mining.
Move.
They're working. They're in there.
They can move.
Yeah. But I think it's hitting off for a spoiler alert, but they did bring some of the animatronics over from Snow White ride, but then they did create some new ones for this ride, and some of those are kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like their face.
Mm-hmm.
How that face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's mm-hmm. one of the ones that they new ones that was part of that. I said not spoil it, but look at the face when you go in. But you got the music and the traditional.
So we went through the Fast Pass queue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably suggest a Fast Pass the first couple of times you're riding it, right?
I personally wouldn't wait 60 minutes for that ride.
I wouldn't wait 30 minutes.
Most of the line's outside, mm-hmm. too, because once you get inside,
there's
not that much in line in the regular.
Well, most of the days they were handing free water out to the people in lines because it was so hot.
Yeah.
But personally, for me, it's a 2-minute ride, and I'm not going to waste an hour to 2 hours standing in line for a 2-minute ride.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Yeah. I think people
I'll fast pass at any time. I think it's a great ride. Mm-hmm. I think it's smooth. I liked it. I'm the one that doesn't ride that many rides, so But I wouldn't wait that long for it.
I wouldn't wait 30 minutes for it, and I'm not really into Snow White, and it's very short, not very detailed, which I like to look at all the
details. I mean, I get if it's your first time, and you don't have a fast pass, and you really want to ride the ride, but I would suggest either getting there early in the morning and going straight to it, or waiting till way late in the evening and, you know, closer to park closing and get in line, because it'll, you know, the crowds tend to die down then.
And it's not covered. A lot of the line's outside, and it's not covered until you get actually inside.
All right, and there's a few trees that goes in and out, and they do have some fans mounted here and there, but, you know, it could be. Except, you know, you're going to experience a lot of wait times. And you're going to be standing outside before you can even get into the main part of the queue just because it's new. You know, you may go through that a year, year and a half. The new guests come and they want to ride that. Like I said, they were had carts, bringing out carts of water for people standing outside. And it was, you know, we've seen wait lines up, you know, 90 minutes, 180 minutes, you know, different times.
But still, even with that being a new ride, the wait time to see Elsa and Anna
was worse.
Was like 150 minutes at one point.
I seen 240 one time.
240, oh, yeah. Well, so if you do the regular line, is there stuff to see that you don't get to see when you're doing the fast pass?
Yeah, the fast pass line, it's just a line you go and they dump you into the load area.
You don't see anything.
Right. Until you get inside and see some of the part of the mine, I guess, if you will. But yes, the standby line, we did do that. And there are three interactive games that you get to participate in while you're standing in line.
Hence another problem, because you get these little kids that want to play these little games and they don't move on when the line moves.
Perfect.
I mean, I think it's a great thing for passing the time. I mean, like they do it on Soarin' and all that. I think that's great, but you get these, I mean, like our 14-year-olds would be like, okay, it's time to move on. We got to move on. They're fine with that.
But older a 5-year-old,
but
not
you get a 3-4-year-old trying to play the game and all they want to do is play that game. They don't care that there's, you know, 1,000 other people behind them waiting. And they're going to hold the line up.
And the games are pretty cool. I mean, they're pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah, and even, I mean, the lines seem to move pretty fast. Yeah. I mean, it seemed to load and unload very fast, and you didn't really spend a lot of time at one section. When we got to the first game, it's, you know, interactive where you're trying to load different gyms and different carts, and it's, you know, maybe, you know, 6-8 feet long. You can kind of play from both sides. You go really around it. But, you know, sure, kind of walking all the way around it.
But it moves so fast, you don't have time. You're just always...
Yeah, yeah, you mean touch and just kind of drag it while you're walking by it and going. And so that's the first game. Second game is you get to hold your hand under some water, and there's different water spits out and plays tunes and music.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
I wonder if that water's recycled. Like the same probably. Water.
Probably.
I like that because, like, after you play that game where you're, like, touching something that everyone else has been touching in the line, you get to, like, kind of clean your hands off after
unless
all
it's just recycled.
Unless it's
hand sanitizer.
Water.
Yeah. It could be hand sanitizer.
I bet it is. You gotta save money somehow.
Yeah. And then the last game is after you get inside, and there's, I think, 7 barrels you get to kind of interact with and spin. And as you spin, different things appear on the ceiling.
But the queue in there is, like, really, like, there's some rocks in there that are really sharp, so if, like, a kid falls, they're probably going to, like, crack their head open because it's, like, super sharp rock.
Yeah, don't expect the walls to be smooth because they're not at all. I mean, it's like rock.
Which is shocking, because
I guess they don't want people leaning on them?
I don't know, you put your hand on it.
I mean, if you're, like I said, your kids, you know,
slip or
moving around and, you know, act excited and stuff, and they get over against the wall and hit their head on a little sharp corner, it's going to hurt or maybe get blood.
Wow. It was like a knife or a needle, like, going through your hand. It was super sharp.
It's just really rough.
They'll change that really quick. Wow. Yeah. First time somebody gets hurt, though.
Yeah.
I don't see why they didn't.
Yeah, it's great detail, but it's rough, and there's some rough edges.
Well, you can have great detail with dull rocks.
Yeah.
There's plenty of spaces, so it's not like you're forced right up against the rock, but if you're, You know, it's not what paying attention to what you're doing. Is throw your hand up or, you know. Your...
Okay, well, this is Disney World. These kids climb all over everything.
Oh, yeah.
So you think they're not going to hit up against a wall?
And then you get the clumsy people like me. Accident prone here. Falling against walls is my specialty.
So that's pretty cool. Like I said, when you get into the dark ride, it slows down and kind of go a little slower through that portion. And you get to the end of it, and there's another big lift. You go up, and that's where you come out the big drop, and the last portion of the ride. So that's the three different portions of the ride.
Mm-hmm. We got Snow White's house at the end, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you can see that while you're waiting to get off the ride.
Yep.
I think that was probably my favorite part of the ride. The
end?
House.
Yeah.
Well, not the end of it, but the house. I like the person that's at the end. I like the animatronic of it that's at the end. I won't say who it is.
So the next thing that we saw, Downtown Disney Co-op store opened while we were down there. What did you guys think?
Like it was nice.
Okay, my absolute favorite part was the salt and pepper shakers that look like trash cans from Adventureland. I'm just saying, I wish I would have got them.
Cool. Well, they segmented out, they took the sports store that used to be downtown Disney and segmented it out into different stores, right?
Yeah. What, six different stores?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
So it's like D-Tech.
There's a phone store that you can design your own phone case.
And then there's like a little girl store.
And a makeup store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's like an adult section, the food sports place, and then the
accessories, they had all the Vera Bradley there.
That's six.
Yeah.
The best one was, like what you're saying, the one that had the old merchandise in. You can get some really good deals in there, like plastic plates and stuff for like $4 or $5.
They have plates and glasses and salt and pepper shakers and all kinds of stuff.
Some old logos based mostly on the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
I had some old stuff, old 20,000 Leagues Under Sea references, and
that was cool.
Adventureland and Tomorrowland logo stuff.
Fantasyland.
And then it had some nice plates as well, like Be Our Guest plates.
Yeah, real nice.
White and black plates with writing and stuff. I thought those were pretty nice. And different cups, you know, plastic cups that you see throughout Disney and different things.
It was neat. I like the purse section. I liked, they had, which was strange to me, they're bringing back the bags that Vera Bradley, like the Disney Vera Bradley, kind of sold out of. They're bringing them back, along with the one that was only supposed to be for the special luncheon. They had plenty of those too, so.
And then they had a new pattern.
They had a new pattern. So it's kind of like they have all the patterns now with the Mickey on it. But I liked that besides the Vera Bradley and the Dooney and Burke, they had some other bags, like they had Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
And they had some other they were kind of plasticky bags, but they were so reasonably priced.
Yeah.
Which was, it's just kind of odd for Disney to have something like that.
They had scarves there and necklaces.
They had like necklaces, but I looked at one necklace and it was expensive for a necklace.
Okay.
It was cute though.
It was really cute.
Yeah, they had all different kinds. I like that section too.
Yeah.
It was neat.
I think the weakest one was the sports store.
Yeah, I was disappointed. Yeah. I mean,
that dull one that was like dark?
Yeah.
That was the one we went in after the kitchen store.
Yeah. I think that'll be the first one to go.
And there was not anybody in there the time that we were there.
There's people talking.
It's generic. So stuff
not as much stuff. I mean, compared to the other one, you know, not as many hats and college teams.
Yeah.
You know, they used to have a lot of different college teams. Now their selection is
real low.
Yeah. But still, some major league stuff, baseball, football stuff.
It was a neat little place to go.
Yeah, it was neat. And we bought something that kept beeping when we walked out the door. So I guess the manager came and talked to us and tried to take care of it. And while we were talking to him, he explained to us that they were, unlike the other Disney stores where it seems to be the same stuff all the time, they're going to change stuff seasonally. As new things come, they're going to change it.
Well, it's modular. So all those little places can be changed out every year, every 12 months. They can take one out, put one in.
Well, that's good, too.
Yeah.
They need new...
They need something that, for those of us that go more than once a year, or once every 2 years, really.
Yeah, if they want us to continue buying their stuff, they need to get new stuff.
And I told them, that was like, probably the fifth day that we had been there out of the week?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, we haven't bought anything at Disney until today. Because everything's the same as the last two or three or four times we've been here.
Yeah.
Or been there.
But the phone cases are good. I think the purse cases and all of that stuff.
Yeah, tell me about the phone cases. What you? I mean, we went in there and looked at it, but kind of didn't spend a lot of time in there. But I know y'all did.
Well, they have a whole bunch of new, that's just to that area, themed phone cases. So you can make your own. It prints it out. You can put your name on it. If you don't personalize it, it's cheaper. If you personalize, I think it's like $35 if you don't. It's like 40 something if you do. But you have these little iPads that are there that you can choose your design, choose what you want on it. The cool thing about it is there's DVC stuff there. So like Saratoga Springs, just a DVC member, Animal Kingdom Lodge. You can get that on a phone case now, which is like they need to head in that direction. And if it does good, they said that they're going to put, could be potential hundreds of different patterns on there of old stuff, new stuff that you can choose. So it was nice.
They had all kinds of Disney characters that you could pick.
So it's like, kind of like the t-shirt store, but you can do it now with phone cases.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're, for me, they kind of stunk when you first open it. But after a couple of days, that goes completely away.
It airs out.
So it's just the ink, I guess.
So how long did it take once you... I guess create your design until it...
Well, it was like the first day, so it took them a while. They said typically it's like 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But this one took about 15 to 20.
So that's not bad.
No, it's still not bad.
For a customized phone case. Yeah.
We didn't get any names on our phones, which I don't think that would have taken any longer.
But you can only find it there. It was almost like the Star Wars. Star Wars had the same thing there, too, where you could... personalize your phone case. So I think they're going to that where it's like, you don't have that typical phone case that you can just get. You can do whatever you want to, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on a side note, Downtown Disney is being worked on.
It's wrecked.
It's a mess. And
it's really hot because there's a bunch of walls and you can't get...
And there's no parking.
No shade.
Yeah. Parking is just...
Parking was a disaster.
So if you go park, just best thing, park at West Side, down by Cirque du Soleil.
And walk.
And, they've got last time we discovered a totally different parking lot in the very back behind Cirque du Soleil. We went back there and parked once this time, I think.
Yeah, and you have to walk, but driving up to the marketplace to try and find a parking place
is ridiculous.
It's not a happy experience for the family, let's just say.
And the boat dock's gone by the Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're walking if you take a boat over, you're walking if you... they do have valet parking.
Yeah, so that's an option.
$20 to valet park.
And if you want to have to park at Pleasure Island area or the marketplace, use valet parking.
It's worth the $20.
It's worth $20.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy.
And like you said, if you're at one of the French Quarters or Old Key West, if you are at one of the Port Orleans, or Old Key West, don't think you're going to be able to just get right off the boat and
walk right into Marketplace.
Walk right into Marketplace, or go to the Sub Sandwich Place.
Earl's
Sandwich, because that's what we did, and we were kind of running late, and we got on the boat, and we thought we were going to land right there at Rainforest, and we'd be right there, and that wasn't the case.
So Old Key West landed by the House of Blues, right?
Yeah, it west lands side. The furthest away.
And right. Port Orleans and lands
Pleasure Island.
Pleasure Island.
It's a little closer, but still, it's a good little walk, and... Lots of construction. It's going to be nice. Disney Springs will be nice when it's all done. There's a lot of construction.
It's just a mess right now, and it's a pain to go to.
Walls everywhere.
Yeah. Yep. Not very pretty to look at, but eventually.
It's going to be really nice.
It'll be fun.
There's two Starbucks there now.
The new Starbucks is really, really nice.
If you're a Starbucks fan.
I think as a side note, we never mentioned it before, But I know that in transportation we had talked before about taking a boat, taking a car, taking a bus, mm-hmm. also taking a cab. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good thing to mention about an experience that you guys have heard of.
We have some friends that were down there in April when we were down there, and they were at the luau. Some of their friends had dropped one of their children off with them at the luau, and they were going to go do dinner with their youngest child in someplace else. So they got a cab from the Polynesian. It was a black cab. That's all the only description I have. They got in the car. It was a man, his pregnant wife, and their four-year-old daughter. And
just a car.
It was a black, like black town car, I think, taxi. But so they're driving, and the man notices they're seeing all these trees, and they're not really seeing many Disney signs. And so he starts questioning where they're going. And he said, you know, you need to stop the car now. Well, the driver just ignored him. And so they finally, someone pulled out in front of them and made the driver slow down some. The driver slowed down, and at that point, the man, his wife, and four-year-old child jumped out of that car. The pregnant wife jumped out of the car because they were fearful. And so they called our friends and said, you know, you need to get somebody to come pick us up. We're on the side of the road. They located them, brought them back to the Polynesian, and what the police officer said was, it is a huge human trafficking ring in Florida, in Orlando area, and it's a human trafficking. So be very cautious of what taxis you take when you take taxis at Disney or anywhere in Orlando area, or really anywhere. You've got to be cautious. But Chicago too, Todd. But you need to make sure it's a reputable company, like Mears. Disney has Mears contract. Get in a Mears cab.
Yeah, don't get in any of them. Just
or if you're on Disney property, make someone, you know, at the check-in that's like outside, make them get you a cab.
Yeah, right.
Mail a cab.
Because they will get the proper kind of cab.
Right. So just be very cautious. Luckily, this turned out okay and they came out of it safe, but it could have had a whole other outcome.
Just be safe. When you're on property, don't assume anything. Just
right. And these guys can get through. They're smart. They can get through the security. You know, I'm here to pick up the Robertson family. I mean, or the Smith family. What are the chances there's a Smith staying in that hotel?
Right.
I mean, you know, so you just be cautious when you do that. And Becky and I actually took a taxi from Wilderness Lodge back to Port Orleans. And we went up to the station, up to the ballet station, and asked them to get us a cab, and it was a Mears cab. It was fine. We had no problems whatsoever. A very polite person. We knew where we were going, so we could watch where we were going. We knew what roads we were supposed to be on. But you just have to be very cautious.
Yeah, just look at the taxi cab, and there may be different companies, but they're all, everyone's I've seen has some type of a Mears sticker on it, either on the side of the door or the, you know, the trunk or somewhere. And just identify, because that is their contract, and go with that. So we took a taxi over to Epcot one morning for mm-hmm. one of our tours that we're getting ready to talk about.
Yeah, we've never had a problem with it. It's just, but
yeah, and y'all just take taxis a lot. I mean,
yeah,
and just check and make sure it says Mears on it somewhere.
So the next thing that we did was the tour that Todd and I did, which was at Epcot.
Yes, the undiscovered world of Epcot. It was really very interesting. We did the Keys of the Kingdom tour in the Magic Kingdom a couple years ago. It's kind of similar behind the scenes. Got to go into different areas of Epcot that guests don't get to see.
Two VIP rooms. What'd you name
them?
Two VIP rooms. One in the Seas, one in Mission Space. We got to ride Soarin'.
Yep.
Got to bypass that line. Saw the back of Test Track, saw costuming there. I mean, it took what? He let us stay there almost an hour and 15 minutes after what we were supposed to be.
6-hour tour is what it was. A 6-hour tour.
You kind of sound
supposed
like
to
a
be a 3-hour tour.
Like islands?
It's like 4.
As opposed to the 3-hour tour
from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
So it was really nice, right? Yeah. We got some rumors that we might, well, maybe not.
Might not have gotten.
Might not share.
But it was all in all, it was a great tour. Highly recommend it. And there's also videos on our YouTube channel of VIP areas and also our Twitter account. You can look at the pictures that we saw too. It was really nice.
Yes, and thanks to Robert, who was an excellent tour guide and very knowledgeable and lots of different facts and
rumors.
Rumors, maybe.
But he was great. Yes. I don't know, probably one of the best cast members we've ever
experienced and ran into and talked to as well. And once again, it's probably we had 11 people in our group, so you know, still not a huge group, but we still had the microphones and the earpieces where you could hear him talking, and you know that worked out fine.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, and just the what overwhelmed me was the costuming area back in Epcot, how huge that was, and some of the statistics he talked about that.
The checkouts that you have to do as a cast member to check out your costume and all, or your cast member stuff. It's cool.
It was. So definitely worth the money, I think. You know, something you're looking, once again, looking for something else to do at Disney, besides the normal stuff. You know, take one of these tours, the backstage tours.
You gotta be over 16, right?
Yes. Most of them you have to be over 16.
Well, they take you into areas like the back of the test track and stuff that it kind of takes away from the magic a little bit. So
there's no magic left at test track.
Sorry.
There's Tron. All right, so
I just wanted to talk about the fast passes a little bit.
Okay.
Just because it's been going on for a while, I still don't like that you're scheduled.
Really scheduled.
All day long.
Yeah.
For your entire vacation.
Yeah, and me and Hannah were going to Fast Pass, and it was for Mission Space, but Mission Space has the green and the orange. So we were getting in the Fast Pass, and we do green because we don't like getting sick.
Exactly, Anna.
So we were in the Fast Pass line, and we realized everybody in front of us had, like, orange, and it was super long, and the regular green was only 10 minutes, and so we just went in the regular line and didn't use our Fast Pass. And we realized everybody in the Fast Pass line was for the orange, because it's usually the longer one.
But, like, it mixes green and orange together. It doesn't have, like, one fast pass for green, one fast pass for orange.
Which doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Huh. No.
It's just one big long line. It was like outside of the area.
Well, that's kind of getting noticed with a lot of the rides, is that the fast pass lines are longer than the regular lines.
Yeah.
Also, some of the rides, which like at Epcot, especially when they have tiered rides, there are rides that people would never ride or most likely wouldn't ride, and now they have lines at them because you have to choose them as one of your Fast Pass rides.
Like Captain EO.
Like Captain EO or the
Living with the Land.
Right, which is crazy.
How in the world?
I've never known that ride to be over 30-minute wait, and that's when the park is packed.
I've never known that ride to be over 10-minute wait. Ever, because there's never anybody down there except for a couple handfuls of people. That never.
The people that are waiting to go on Soarin'.
Right. It's just to fulfill a fast pass. Silly.
The good thing about it, though, is they changed it to where you can do three fast passes. You can do it multiple parks now. And after you're done with your three fast passes, you can get an extra one.
You can get an extra one if there is availability.
And you have to do it at a kiosk in the park. At this point, you can't do it on the phone.
Right.
Well, the cast members talk to, so I think, you know, you eventually will be able to do that.
And it doesn't show up on the phone.
And
under my Disney Experience app.
It's not immediate. Like, it's almost goes back to the paper Fast Pass,
right,
where if you go and get it, you have, like, a two-hour wait before that Fast Pass. So you really, most likely, are not going to be able to do it multiple times, unless you, like, go at 7 in the morning.
But they'll tweak it. I bet you it'll get better.
It's getting better. Like I said, it's even changed since we were there in the spring, you know, just in April. So, because, you know, they added the extra fast passes you could get. But
I'd still rather have the paper fast pass because You determine when you go to the parks and when your rides are a little bit more than this way. Mm-hmm. This, I don't like scheduling. But yes. I will say a plus is, I mean, we got, what, 4 fast passes for the Mine Train ride, which, you know, is amazing to me.
Yeah, I like the old fast pass that you could go and you could see when the fast pass return was, and then you could see, oh, wait, I have a lunch reservation at that time, I can't do it.
Right.
It's way too scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm on vacation.
And then it's too technology, because you're looking at your phone when you should be having fun with your family.
Yeah. I did better this trip.
I did
better.
Yeah.
Didn't I? A little bit.
Tad.
That's all of us. I mean, not this time as much, and maybe it's because it's getting better, or we're getting better at it, but the last time we went, which was in March, it was constantly, when's our fast pass? When is our fast pass? And somebody was always having to get on the phone and try to find out.
And then it would, like, log you out or something like that.
And then it wouldn't work.
Because there's, like, 100 people trying to use it all at the same time.
So,
things that you do, I mean, you could set alarms on your phone.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things that we didn't do that probably we could have.
That is people who are organized.
That is not us.
It's part of planning.
Yeah. So. And what is it? So, like, while we were at the end of our trip, while we were there, it went from being close RFID to being, what is it, Nathan?
Distant?
Distant RFID.
Like.
So they can detect you.
Like they can detect
distance.
You.
So they can tell we're at home right now.
No, but the thing is, when I lost my magic band this trip, they can't track you because they didn't look on the computer and be like, oh, it's in this part of the hotel.
Well, it's not like a tracking thing. I mean, well,
Disney,
I guess,
is getting stalker.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say it's probably not a GPS thing.
They should have been able to say where it was.
In terms of tracking, monitoring, or tag Morgan Mills and give her a red line and we'll see where she goes throughout her. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they are.
They probably are.
I mean, really, it's probably
then they
should
have been able to find my magic band.
Yeah, that's
right.
We've been there 20 minutes and we lost the magic band. But it worked out.
You didn't put the lid on the box.
Yeah, you didn't put the lid on the box.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
But we had plenty of magic bands to spare.
We had 3. We could have.
Yeah, we had 3 sets. You all had 4 sets, and it's just like,
it's
crazy. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
I don't see why you just have one for everything. Yeah.
Well,
it'll eventually get there, though.
We would have had one if we had gotten our annual passes before we left. Then we would have just had the annual pass one, and everything would have linked to it.
Yeah, well, Morgan did, because...
Well, that's what she did when
she took our new annual pass, which we hadn't... weren't supposed to renew, actually, until the very last day of our trip, but they were to put everything on her annual pass band, and she used that one band for basically all of her trip. And
I still don't like the bands, because they give you an awkward tan line, and if I put it on my purse, it'll probably pop off, because it's not... I've lost one when it's in the box.
Yeah, we lost it from the lobby to the room, so somehow.
Do you want to bet me how is it?
Well, you can win. But I don't like the magic band either, so I do wear it on my purse strap because I can't stand the feeling of it.
No. And then it gives me the opportunity to play with it, and that's not good either because I'll lose it then too, but I haven't yet.
You need a magic headband.
Yeah.
No. Sticking your head up to the I just need to insert something in your skin.
Bow to Mickey.
Or the paper fast passes worked perfectly fine.
Exactly.
Star Wars weekend.
No, Star Yay. Wars weekends. We went there.
Yes.
Wonderful yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Saw Mark Hamill.
Yes, his first appearance, really, I think, by Mark Hamill.
Characters all over the place.
I got to meet Chewbacca and an Ewok, and it hugged me. And it gave me little kisses. I was at the pool.
Morgan, Kristen, and I, Becky, were at the pool for the day. I like Star Wars, but not enough to be in the crowd.
Not on a Saturday, as hot as it was, and all those
people. It was very hot.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Rather.
We got there late, and we were 4 or 5 deep for the parade that started at 11:30, and my phone got the giving me the temperature warning, so I'm trying to take pictures. It was so hot. It was so hot that the phone was overheating. So yeah. As soon as the parade was over, we made a beeline for some drinks.
Yeah.
So were you able to see Mark Hamlin?
Hamill? You call him Mark Hamlin. So many.
Mark Hamilton. Whatever. Luke. Yeah, Luke Skywalker. Were you able to see him?
Yes.
On his car?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
I thought the Darth Maul was really, really cool.
Where the place you get Star Wars merchandise.
Yeah. And you can get, like, it has an Akbar snack bar. I thought... Like, they had these drinks. It was, like, lemonade with extra stuff in it.
What kind of extra stuff?
I didn't get the... Explain to them. You are 14.
She really liked that bar snack bar.
Is that where you got your big Darth Vader helmet full of popcorn?
Yes.
And your...
My stormtrooper, yes. By the way, that was the dog.
It was the Ewok.
It was the Ewok dog.
I don't even know what that is. I don't know what that
is. Okay, I'm the only one out of the loop. I'm okay with it, though.
There was a whole bunch of people there, which hopefully is a precursor to some kind of Star Wars area or land where American Idol is going to be closed.
Yes.
And be put there.
Well, there's also a rumor that Indiana Jones is going. So that's another area.
Yeah, that'd be a huge area. They're right across from each other.
Stunt.
Yeah.
Blow that up, too. That'd
I think
nice.
They should just, instead of Avatar Land, they should just have Star Wars Land. And I don't even like Star Wars. It just makes more sense.
It's too late. What's going to happen is that the Animal Kingdom over in the Savannah, when you're staying at the lodge, is going to be like those blue people that are going to be running along with the giraffes. So you better wear just get used to it.
Yeah. Poor giraffes.
But it's nice. I mean, it was nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's an annual thing for Disney, and it's a big extended. They had an extra weekend this year. It's always draws huge crowds, and it was no different. This year they took away the hoopla, hyperspace hoopla dancing. They had fireworks
that
at
was
night.
Wonderful,
and that was very nice.
I thought it was better than Wishes.
You just stabbed hot in the heart.
If you said Ariel something bad about Ariel, you would have killed him.
You might be outside the yard.
They were different fireworks than Wishes. Yeah. And I thought they were very, very good.
Yeah. But
they brought all the characters and the villains and the Jedi and stuff on the stage and kind of introduced them. Just a kind of a quick photo op, and then they left off. So no dancing or anything like that. But
and if you're a Star Wars fan and you get a chance, watch the interview of Mark Hamill. Not Hamlin.
Mark Hamilton. YouTube. Luke.
He's extremely entertaining.
Yes.
And he's also one of the first Jedis. So.
He also has a fuzzy face.
That's called a beard.
Just saying.
Griff for the new Star Wars movie.
So I thought it was well worth it.
Yeah.
You all guys think
good.
So?
Good. I thought it was well worth it, too, because I got to sit by the pool.
Exactly.
It
was
great. All away from us.
Yeah, and the last weekend they launched a couple new magic bands with characters, Yoda and Darth Vader. So maybe that's a preview of things to come instead of the standard 7 colors that they have. I'm sure they're going to start introducing maybe a character specific with designs on them. Couple of them even played, Darth Vader was his breathing. When you either checked in, you got the park or did different things. I think they said Yoda made some, wise sayings and kind of talked to you a little bit. So that's some of the things that this technology that, is coming in the future.
Well, I think that'd be pretty cool.
The cast members, every time, if somebody had one of those bands, they could probably quote Yoda and Darth Vader's breathings after so many people have them. Another job I would not want to have. Hearing Yoda every 5 minutes is not what I dream to hear.
You shall be
if it was a different movie, you'd be thrilled. Just so there are...
No, not every 5 minutes.
There are people that love Star Wars.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for listening to us. Our contact information is in our show notes. So once again, thank you so much for listening to us.
Hope all your dreams are magical dreams.